Downloading.
Downloading.
Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Talking about reaching beyond the world's wisdom to better understand the wisdom of God's kingdom with Tom Yeakley today at SOS Radio. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, Scott. How about you?
So when we read through the Bible, we see Jesus talking a lot about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of God is, or in God's kingdom, this is how it all plays out. But you've studied this through the years. How would you explain what Jesus really means when he's talking about the kingdom of God?
Yeah, that's a great question, and probably foundational to our discussion this morning, talking about kingdom wisdom. To me, the simplest definition of kingdom, Scott, is the rule and the reign of Jesus. So we are seeking to, as we advance the kingdom of Christ, seeking to influence others to submit themselves to the rule and reign of Jesus, whether it be their personal life or in their respective spheres of influence.
I know it's interesting because a lot of times we hear the kingdom of God and we just default to, oh, he must be talking about heaven, but he also says on earth as it is in heaven, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so how do we apply that? We know that heaven's perfect, earth is not. People are not perfect. I mean, we look at our past, we look at what God's redeemed us from, and we go, I want to live in God's kingdom, but sometimes it just feels so broken.
Yeah, it is. And again, because we are a fallen race of human beings, we are in desperate need of Christ as a Savior to redeem us, to restore us, to reconcile us back in relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so just to place it in a personal mission statement. So here, as I think about how to advance the kingdom of God and how to help bring people into a relationship with Christ, my personal mission statement, this is why I believe, Scott, Jesus put me on the planet. My personal mission statement is I'm out to change the world one person at a time by helping them live and lead like Jesus. Now, I have polished that. I have thought that through. And I really try to live that out.
As Christ followers, Tom, we go through all these talks about what was the greatest commandment, or really what did Jesus teach versus what Paul taught versus what the Old Testament taught. And if I'm trying to drill into this and figure out really what the heart of all this is, Jesus is clear in that we're to go and make disciples.
Yeah, so we think about what we call the Great Commission, mentioned in all four of the Gospels as well as the book of Acts in various forms. The Matthew passage 28:18-20, probably the most familiar with your listeners. It's this culmination of all that Jesus taught during his public ministry of 3.5 years. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And then he closes, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. And so the command is not to go, but the command is to make what? Make disciples. What's the context? The nations. And the nations are not geopolitical units on a map, but people groups, people that share common language and culture. That's how the gospel advances. That's how the kingdom advances into people groups. And we are to be a part of seeing that kingdom advance.
Talking about growing kingdom wisdom today with Tom Yeakley on SWS Radio. And Tom, you and your wife, Dana, served with the missionary organization, the Navigators, since like 1978. You even lived abroad in Indonesia, working with college students and working in community ministries. And when you dig into culture, in America, we think, oh, culture is so much different than when we were growing up. And we talk about redeeming culture. We talk about digging into culture. Then there's the whole idea of getting in front of culture, Tom.
Yeah, so again, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be a catalytic change agent in individual lives, as I mentioned in my personal mission statement, but realizing that all of us people are embedded in a culture, right? And so that as I change people and catalytically try to introduce them, if they don't know Christ, personally to Jesus, and then if they do know Christ, help them grow up to maturity in Christ, I want them to be change agents for their culture. I'm trying to be a change agent in my culture. I'm defining culture in a personal sense here. That is the milieu or the environment that I find myself in of relationships and relating to systems or structures, everything from government to local neighborhoods and everything in between.
It's funny how growing in kingdom wisdom really leads to leadership. I'm Scott on SWS Radio. And we're talking with Tom Yeakley, and he's a pastor. He's worked with the Navigators for nearly 40 years. And leadership's something we're all called to do, whether we're a mom or a dad, or we're a manager at work, we're a pastor, or we're just shepherding our kids. You know, leadership is interesting because leadership is something that comes from God. He talks a lot about servant leadership. He talks about growing the kingdom. He talks about godly wisdom. And you wrote a book digging into all of that.
Yes. Anyone who's living life today, as an adult in particular, realizes that that's just the challenges of navigating life today and trying to live life in such a way that it is pleasing to God. And as you mentioned wisely, Scott, that we all do have some capacity of leadership responsibility, whether it be locally in our own families or our context, or some of us will have either in our local church or organizationally or a business, we'll have leadership. How do we lead through this complex, confounding world today and cultural milieu that is so confusing and changing so rapidly in such a way that it pleases Christ, our Savior and Lord?
Yeah, when you read through Proverbs, it says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil, and I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine, and I have understanding and power. And when we really dig into godly wisdom, it's so different than just obtaining more knowledge about a subject.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just knowledge. And again, there's a triad, if you will, that goes together often in the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament. It's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Those three form a unique triad that are interconnected, sometimes used interchangeably, but often distinctly, but often are connected. If I could just take a moment to help your listeners understand the difference between those three, because I think it really helps us as we think about the end result is wisdom. So again, knowledge is simply facts. It's just accumulation of information. There's a spiritual gift of knowledge, according to Romans 12. So knowledge is, for instance, knowing that water is made up of hydrogen and two oxygen atoms. That forms a water molecule. That's basic information. Understanding is being able to see the interconnectedness of various bits of knowledge. And so we understand that if we take these water molecules and keep them at a certain temperature, then they will be in a liquid state, for example. Or we heat them for a certain temperature, 212 degrees Fahrenheit, and we realize that it turns into a gaseous state. That's understanding. We see interconnectedness of various bits of information. But wisdom is the application of knowledge and understanding to life situations. That is what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 8. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare to it. It is the goal of how do we live life in such a way that we hear at the end of that life, Jesus say to us, well done, good and faithful servant.
I believe godly wisdom can turn culture on its axis. And I'm Scott at SWS Radio. And we're talking with author Tom Yeakley, and he's worked with the Navigators for over 40 years. And in Proverbs, it says the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding. I mean, when we're reading that, we're tempted to just kind of sit back and laugh because we think about how vague wisdom is in our culture. But Tom, what have you learned about godly wisdom over your years working with the Navigators?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, let's differentiate between the two general types of wisdom. One is worldly wisdom. And there is such a thing as worldly wisdom, and it has certain advantages. Worldly wisdom is simply the accumulation of knowledge and understanding over a period of time, often associated with age. So the more experience we have, the more knowledge we have accumulated, we gather worldly wisdom. There's certain advantages to that. Often that type of worldly wisdom is captured in educational systems and taught to succeeding generations. That has some advantage, but it doesn't really gain us advantage with the Lord. We're talking about spiritual wisdom, kingdom wisdom, wisdom from above, heavenly wisdom, and that comes from God himself, revealed to us through the Holy Spirit and revealed to us in particular through the scriptures, as the Holy Spirit teaches us from the scriptures what it means to live life in ways that are pleasing to God.
We're talking about fully understanding godly wisdom with author Tom Yeakley today at SWS Radio, and he's worked with the Navigators for over 40 years. But Tom, when we really talk about godly wisdom, as Christ followers, we want to understand that. But then often we're always saying, I want God's will for my life. How do we discern what God's will is? Because that's a little different than just asking God for his wisdom, right?
Yes, certainly. And so the subject of the will of God and discerning the will of God is a subject that many people are desperately looking for. How do I know when it comes to a decision that I have to make, especially big decisions, maybe career choices or life partner choices, those kind of things? And I deal with a lot of college students and college grads who are making major decisions, especially as they get towards graduation. How do I know that this choice that I have is the one that the Lord would be pleased with? I tell them a couple of general comments. One, the will of God for your life in those decisions is really not that hard to discern. If one thing is true, that is, you submit yourself beforehand to the Lord saying, Lord, I want what you want for my life. Whatever that is, you speak, make it clear, and to the best of my ability, I will follow. With that attitude, that heart attitude, Scott, you can't miss. The will of God is a super highway that you cannot miss. And if by some chance God says to you, go left, and you hear go right out of a sincerity of trying to follow him, God will get in front of you and redirect you back. He won't let you. You know, he'll send a fish to swallow you up and spit you out on a beach to get you to Nineveh like he did with Jonah. You can't miss the will of God. There's five different means then that God uses to communicate his will or his desires for us. These five are often lining up and pointing all green lights in a similar direction. So just very quickly, here's the five things that God uses to communicate his will to us. First of all, it's those scriptures, the word of God. It can be as clear as do this, don't do that, or it can be as subjective as a personal promise from the scriptures. But the word of God will be used to speak to us. Secondly, he'll give us personal peace when we pray about it. There'll be a settledness in our spirit. It's Isaiah 30:21, where he says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You'll just know this is the way. It doesn't mean you'll have all your questions answered, but you'll know. You'll have enough light for the next step. Third thing that God uses to direct us in decision-making is counsel, wise counsel. And those are people trying to find people that are a little farther along the path than we are, who don't have vested interest in trying to steer us down a certain predetermined path, but really want what God's best for us. Listen to godly counsel. In the abundance of counselors, there is much wisdom, the scriptures say in Proverbs 15. Fourth thing that God will use is what I call critical thinking. And that's just Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators, was fond of saying this: God gave you a lot of leading when he gave you a brain, so use your brain. Now, having said that, though, the scriptures in Proverbs 3:5-6 say, do not lean on your own understanding when trying to discern the Lord's guidance. But it doesn't say don't use your own understanding. It just says don't try to logic your way forward into the will of God, because often the will of God for us is illogical from a human standpoint or from a worldly wisdom point of view. And then the last thing that God will use is circumstances, open and closed doors. He may open doors in front of us, but sometimes he will close doors to redirect us. I find great comfort in Paul's example in his second missionary journey. He hit three closed doors to try to find his direction as far as his mission direction. He tried to enter the province of Asia. It says it was prevented by the Holy Spirit. He turned north to Bithynia, to Mysia, all closed doors, ended up in Troas, a port city in western Turkey today, and has a vision of a Macedonian man calling him, come over into northern Greece. That wasn't a part of his plan, but God directed him that way through closed doors. So those five means God uses to communicate, and God being God, he lines them all up and points them in a similar direction. You can't miss it. So my summary on this, Scott, would be knowing the will of God, if that condition is true, Lord, I want to do the will of God in my life. You show me, I'll do it. If that's true, knowing the will of God is easy. It's doing the will of God that's the hard part. It's the follow through, because it usually will require faith and sacrifice. And we kind of break out in a rash on that sometimes, those two words.
William Shakespeare said, the better part of valor is discretion. I'm Scott on SOS Radio, and we're talking with Tom Yeakley from The Navigators, and he has a brand new book. It's called Growing Kingdom Wisdom. And Tom, in 1 Kings, God invites Solomon to ask him anything he desires as he's this new king, and Solomon asks for wisdom above all else. And because God's so pleased with his request, he makes Solomon the wisest person who's ever lived, other than Jesus himself. But James says that if we're to want wisdom, we just ask for it. It's a promise that God himself gives us. Why do you think more Christians don't take God at his word and actually believe in that it's a possibility to get wisdom when they ask for it?
That's a great question, Scott. My own personal journey in this has been that I saw those promises. I saw the example of Solomon as a young man inheriting the leadership responsibility from his dad, David, and God blessing his request for wisdom. I saw James 1:5, where the promise is, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given him. And I thought, well, yeah, but what is wisdom, and what am I really asking for, and how do I know if I've got it when I pray for it? Wisdom is such a nebulous or fuzzy, hard to get your hands around subject that we're not motivated to ask or pursue it, even though we see the promise that we mentioned earlier in Proverbs 8 about it's more precious than anything. Why would you not pursue it? And yet, because of the vagueness of it or the hard to defineness of it, it is often neglected, which is why one of the reasons I wrote the book, trying to put a handle on it, a practical handle on it for us, so that in my own life, as well as the lives of others that I influence, that it becomes a high value, this pursuit, this lifelong pursuit of godly wisdom.
We're talking with Tom Yeakley today at SOS Radio. His new book is called Growing Kingdom Wisdom. Thanks for sharing with us today and sharing some of yours that God's given you over your journey.
It's a delight to be with you. I just am thrilled and honored with the opportunity to influence others in this pursuit of God's wisdom.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.